Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome to hour two of this Tuesday morning program, everybody. The Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com for this Tuesday, June 18th, emanating from the bunker north of Dewdney. A nuclear hour one on the program. Nothing too dangerous. But holy smokes for guests. Jay Onright of TSN, Milt Stegall, sports Canadian doctor. Football Hall of Famer, and the sports doctor, Dave Patrician, weighing in on my Blue Bomber fan rant yesterday. If you missed it all, just go to that arrow at the front of your screen and go back. And you can start right from hour one. So as we got a poll question up, Tuesday poll. What is Canada's game of the week? Three games in the CFL. Saskatchewan at Ottawa Thursday, BC at Edmonton Friday, and Toronto at Hamilton Saturday. I was saying Argos Ticats just to be a good guy. Nobody agreed with me. The poll results, 62.3% of our viewers and respondents on our Twitter feed at Rod Peterson Show say BC at Edmonton is Canada's game of the week, and I'm jacked up for it too. Derek Myers, the Duke, is in studio, and we're pleased to be welcomed by, and I tell you what, Wes Cates, when the host says, a man who needs no introduction, that's you.
There you go.
There's a Hall of Famer for you.
I'll take it.
How are things with you, Wes?
I'm good. How you been?
Good. Yeah. The last I heard of you, you were a guest coach at Rough Riders Camp up in Saskatoon. So how did you like that little foray into coaching?
That was, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I liked the atmosphere. It was good to kind of get around the players and get immersed in it a little bit, but I don't know that early to rise, late to bed of coaching.
The faint of heart.
Yeah, no. I mean, I could see myself doing it, but am I in a rush to get into that lifestyle? Right now, I'd have to say no.
Well, you do the media thing too. Derek was asking about CTV. Now there's a gig, man. Yeah. You probably like that a lot more.
Well, you know, it's nice to get, you know, stay in the news a little bit or something like that, you know, get on TV for a bit. So, yeah, working with Claire Hanover, CTV, doing X's and O's and game clock. So just a little quick few minute segments, you know, just recapping the game and talking about, you know, the big events in the previous game the night before.
Derek, you jump in at any time because I could take Wes for a couple hours at least with my questions. So you go first with what you got for the Wes Cates.
Well, I was just wondering, you grew up in Columbus, Ohio, which is obviously a hotbed of football. I mean, that is one of the main spots that there is. You end up in Calgary. I mean, all these years later, now here you are, you're doing media commenting on football. Right. Could you have ever imagined you'd end up in a place called Regina, Saskatchewan, and working actually in the media? Covering football?
Definitely not when I was still running around Ohio. You know, I was, you know, I knew about Canada. I'd actually been up a few times, but didn't really see myself staying up here, living up here. When I got into the CFL, it was obviously a blessing. Kind of started my football career late at 25. And, well, everything I heard about Saskatchewan and Regina when I was playing for the Stamps wasn't really good. So
of course,
to get here and then to realize how great the, you know, the football culture is, how the city was growing, how great the people are. And it kind of made sense after I played here a few years and kind of wasn't going home for the off seasons anymore that, you know, Regina started to feel like a good fit. And yeah, to be a part of the community and to be on TV a bit and still to be able to interact with everybody's favorite team is pretty awesome.
You hit on something there with the training camp part of coaching. I could fill a lot of questions on this. How much actual coaching were you doing versus evaluating? Mm-hmm. Like, what's your role? What's the role of a coach? Not a guest coach, coach in a CFL training camp.
A coach, it's pretty tough, right? Because already day one, you're kind of trying to figure out, well, how can we trim these numbers down, right? But you're happy you have the bodies. So you're mainly looking at your main guys, make sure they come in healthy and in shape and ready to go. And then there's those few stragglers that you're saying, well, can he fill an opening or is he going to be the guy that we thought he was going to be when we saw his college film or whatnot? So a lot of it, I would would say is just evaluating and hoping that guys get out there and run the plays right so that you can evaluate them fairly. So I think it's tough, man, because you know you don't have a lot of time and you're trying to install and get guys ready for the first game. But really, I think that's kind of secondary to just trying to evaluate guys and get your roster down.
In the end, did the Riders pick the right ones?
Honestly, they brought a lot of great athletes into camp this year. I was pretty impressed. So I think they it would have been hard to go wrong, right? I'm sure there was plenty of guys they sent home that could be stars in this league. They just kind of need the opportunity. Hopefully they land on their feet somewhere with a CFL team or whatever league. It seems like there's, you know, leagues popping up and opportunities. So I think the Riders made some good choices. I was interested to see the quarterback choices, considering, you know, the backups don't really have experience with the offense or whatnot, but we'll see how that plays out. So they're getting put to the test right away here with Caleros looking a little dinged up. I don't know if he's been cleared to play or what the case is at this point in the week, but yeah, they've got a lot of pressure on their young guys right now, so we'll see.
Yeah. And then that was going to be my question, and you've walked right into it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go with two quarterbacks, kind of rotation, with Fajardo and with Harker. Mm-hmm. You went through a very similar situation with Durant and Giles back in 2009,
right,
under Ken Miller. And I remember the game in August where Ken came out and said, you know, Durant's going to play the first quarter, Giles is going to play the second, and then we'll see what's going to happen. What's that like for the rest of the guys on the team going into it, and especially on the offensive side of the ball,
yeah,
and a guy at a skill position when you know you're going to have this rotation of guys?
I think if you're not those guys in the rotation, I think the biggest thing you're worried about is it going to negatively affect their confidence? So you know, obviously, if they're on your team, you know they've got some moxie about them, they've got some skills. So, you know, some guys might be more in favor of Fajardo, some guys might like Harker better, but, you know, there might be a split there teammate-wise, but you just hope that the flow of the game is fairly natural as compared to one guy, and that these guys aren't tight and not playing their type of ball because they know they're being evaluated at that level. So I think it's tough, but at the end of the day, you just hope both of the guys play well and that one just has those couple of plays that kind of deads all the rotating and just gives him the chance to be the guy. So I think as a team, you just go in and worry about doing your job and hoping that these guys can go out and play their best ball even though they're in this situation.
You go back to that Calgary game and Durant makes the pass to Getzlaf at the end of the game to win the game. Was that the clincher for you guys going? I mean, not only in the coach's mind, but was that the clincher? You just went into Calgary, tough situation. He pulls this one out of the fire, yeah. Long pass to Getzlaf. Was that, from that point on, was Doubles your guy?
Well, I think Doubles always had that kind of calm, cool, collected sense about him. He never let the moment really get too big for him. I think his biggest problem, if anything, would be, you know, trying to do it all himself. Whereas I think Giles at that time was a guy who kind of had ebbs and flows and didn't really always start off games as well as he finished them. So I think when Durant showed that, that was kind of the sealer, right? To just go, yeah, okay, we know what we've got with Durant, so we'll roll with him. Because, like I said, Giles was more – he always played better off the bench for some reason. And he just couldn't get rid of that before they made their decision.
Jack Fulton, watching from Calgary this morning, says, I was glad to see Wes go to the Riders where he got the opportunity to play. Knew he was a great running back by what we saw in Calgary, but he didn't get the opportunity that the Riders gave him. By the way, speaking of, it's interesting things coming up there. Jeremy O'Day is a guy you played with. You've been in a lot of meeting rooms with him, spent a lot of time with him. Mm-hmm. Different philosophy from his predecessor, Chris Jones, I think, and before him, Brendan Tamman. Brendan signed the proven older guys.
Right.
And Jeremy, not interested. You know, this the talk of Darian Durant coming back, not going to happen on his watch. Jeremy is a very forward-looking, not back-looking guy. And by the way, it worked for Brendan Tamman. Right. You won a Grey Cup here. There's more than one way to skin a cat. But how much are you watching what the Riders are doing right now and impressed by or questioning the way they're going with this club?
Well, it's funny, being removed from it as a player, you're always thinking, I've got plenty left in the tank, no matter if you're 23 or 33, right? But I think you do. You have to kind of have that foresight to look down the road and not just be worried about winning championships now, but sustaining that and having guys on your roster that are young and have potential to grow, and, you know, maybe you can get a deal out of them for their first couple years, right? I mean, I was a guy, my first year when we won the Grey Cup in 07, I was making 40,000 Canadian. So
nothing.
Basically.
On a broken foot.
Right. So, you know, sometimes those things work out and you find what you need out of the young guys. And you can definitely know what you're getting out of an older guy. But then you've got to really pay attention to the expenses, right? Because old guys aren't cheap. So it's easier to maybe go find a couple young guys, you know what I mean, and hope it works out, as long as you have a good cast to include them into. So I think it's always tough. It's always tough as a player personnel guy to kind of figure out, well, what's our strategy going to be? What type of team are we going to have? What type of personality are we going to try to build with our players? So I think you got to kind of stick to that and try to get like-minded guys in the same locker room, as well as a mix of good guys that can teach all the young guys like the right way to go.
Right. Well, you know, with our talk about the Riders, we spent a lot of time on it yesterday. I don't want any. Well, I say the Riders were in a bind. They are in a bind, but that is no fault of Jeremy O'Day's. He hit 6 months on the job. So this team right now is going to look a lot different 2 years down the line on Jeremy O'Day's watch than it does right now. None of this is Jeremy's fault that they're in a bind. I wanted to get that out. More with Wes Cates coming up. Great questions coming in from our viewers on the Facebook feed. Wayne will answer your question next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Tuesday morning sports update. Toronto police say now 4 people shot and wounded yesterday during the Toronto Raptors victory parade. Police Chief Mark Saunders says none of the injuries are life-threatening. 3 people were arrested as over 1 million people celebrated Toronto capturing its first ever NBA title. News this morning, the Tampa Bay Lightning have re-signed defenseman Braden Coburn, a good Sasky boy, to a 2-year deal worth $3.4 million. The 34-year-old had 4 goals and 19 assists in 74 games last season. Coburn took $2 million less a year just to remain with the Tampa Bay Lightning. What a great guy.
No state tax in Florida either.
Erik Karlsson is staying put. The veteran defenseman signed an 8-year, $92 million U.S. deal to remain with the San Jose Sharks. The 2-time Norris Trophy winner was eligible to become an unrestricted free agent July 1st. So far on this program today, Milt Stegall, Jay Onwright, and the Sports Doctor in studio with us now, Riders Hall of Famer Wes Cates. And Wes, we got a question come in. Wayne writing us on the Facebook feed. Good morning, Wes. I'm wondering what your favorite memory from playing with the Riders is. Do you have one?
It's always tough, man. I mean, you can always go back to the 07 Grey Cup and finishing that off. there's a lot of, oddly enough, it probably wouldn't be an actual game, it'd probably be just hanging out with the buddies. We used to have like some epic parties in 08. I always loved that team.
What would, give me an example.
Was that the fan had
say anything.
The Fat Jews Kanji group?
We had an all black party where we all like dressed up in all black and partied down at, I can't think of the name. One of the restaurants downtown. Yeah, it was a great time, and it just, you know how sometimes you're on a team and nobody gets along and it's just a hard season and you're like, why am I doing this again? But then you have teams that are like just buddies and enjoy being around each other and hang out and do things together. And that was, 08 was that year, you know what I mean? Even though we didn't finish it off, even though I think that was our best team, but we had a rough quarterback situation that year. We had like four different guys start three games or more. So, yeah, but it was just a great group of guys, and I had a lot of fun that season, and it really just, propelled me to get through the rest of the grueling CFL, you know, the mental strain and the strain on your body. Sometimes you do wonder, should I get out of this earlier than, you know what I mean, my body's telling me or what? But 08 was one of those years that pulls you back in.
Let me just interject. I mentioned the Twitter comments that have mused me over the past 24 hours, and one was about the Raptors player smoking cigars at 10:30 in the morning and still being drunk. That just amused me. What that tells young people is do something, accomplish something in your life, and you can do whatever the hell you want. That's pretty much life's
rules. And they'll throw you a parade.
So back off, and you parent your kids. Don't let pro athletes do it, okay?
Right.
Secondly, I saw somebody complaining, I'm hoping it was tongue-in-cheek, Fake Gainer on Twitter, complaining about the Girl Guides selling cookies outside Rider games. I bought a box of cookies at the last Rider game across the street from the Armories. But if you really want to make money, girls, go down to Dudney at 2 a.m. on a Friday night.
Oh, boy.
That's when you should set up shop right
so
in front.
You're sending 10-year-old girls down to Dudney at 2 a.m. Yeah. I think I'm concerned
What's
about
the
your
problem?
Parenting
I think,
skills
right.
here a little.
Free enterprise. You want to make money or what?
I don't know if that's going to work out the way you want it to, Rob. But
if you want to sell out and sell out fat. Hey, you don't think there's any drunk people coming out of the Rider games, right. by the way?
That might get some nice tips, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That Humpty's? Was that a Humpty's down just on the corner there of
Is that where
Albert
they had their party?
And, yeah. No, I'm just thinking that place used to be packed after Dudney. Dressler used to do the commercials for that. Yeah. Those were so
That's bad. Right. Wes, you need by the end of the show to tell me where that party was
Crave,
back in
I just remember.
Crave.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Great spot.
Yes.
Great spot.
I know Craig right. killed me for not remembering that, the owner over there.
CP.
In yeah. your time... And you go back to 2008, and it just reminded me of how that ended. Cameron Wake was a monster in that game. Mm. Best guy, or a guy that had skills that even you, as a you know a Rider Hall of Famer, just like to watch on the field, even as a player.
Yeah, Cameron Wake, actually, funny story about Cameron Wake, because he was on like his second year of 20 sacks or something like that. So we had a play where the line was sliding away from Cameron, and I had to come off, come from the backfield and block him. So I'm like, okay, this is Wake. I got to be ready for this. And I go to cut him. So I cut this guy, and I'm like, man, that was a good cut. I roll over to look back to see what's going on behind me. He's chasing the quarterback. So I'm like, what the hell? Did I cut this dude or what the? You know what I mean? So then I literally go back to film the next day, watch the play. Boom, put him on his face. But he just threw himself up like as quick as he hit the ground and was chasing the quarterback again. So that was one of those lessons where I was like, yeah, I can only cut in certain situations because, you know, you can only block, you can only cut a guy once, then he's behind you and it's over. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cameron Wake was a stud. There's always guys that I played against. Actually, Mo Lloyd and Reggie Hunt were players that I played with. And when I played against them and realized how, like, you know, short tacklers and how they're always in on the play, it amazed me.
Wes, we did an event together down in Weyburn. You were the guest speaker at the Red Wings fundraiser and absolutely killed it. They're still talking about it down there. Are you doing... much public speaking anymore? And if not, can I get you doing more? Because I really enjoyed it, man.
I did one with you in Zenith Park. It was a home run. You're a star.
You're too hard on yourself, Wes.
No, well, I mean, I was lucky, right? I played in an era, like the most winningest era.
Yeah.
The West Cates era.
He has named it the West Cates era.
The decadence is now the West Cates era.
5 years of, you know what I mean, winning. My last year was a rough one. I almost won a race, that one. But winning seasons, three Grey Cup appearances, one. You know what I mean? So I think that helps me out a bit. But, you know, I've done it a lot being with the Riders now. So I think you get better with time. So I've always enjoyed it. I do it a little bit, but not nowhere near as much as I did back when I was hanging out with you guys more and still, you know, just finished playing or still playing.
Big reason why it was such a winning era was because of guys like you. Though it wasn't a coincidence that you just happened to be here during the greatest period of Rider history. But the interesting thing was, I'll never forget the day you were traded here in June of 2007 for Rob Lazio. And you, in a trade, you want both teams to feel happy after the trade.
Right.
They would do it again because they had, was Joffrey Reynolds was there, right? You weren't beating him out. He'd been there before
Joffrey
you.
Joffrey and Cornish was
there. Yeah, and John Cornish. So they wanted to get you a spot to play. Mm-hmm. And they needed an offensive lineman.
Right.
Right. And they went on to win the Grey Cup in 2008. The point I'm getting at here is that Jim Hobson came in, hired Eric Tillman, and let Eric do his job. That trade was all Eric Tillman. Jim never interfered in what Eric was doing. Did he want to know what Eric was doing? Yes, because he was the president. But there was so many outstanding personnel moves that I think slid under the radar that people don't even understand that he did. Not to mention bringing in talent. You know, when Eric in subsequent stops in Edmonton didn't go as well, I don't think he had the free rein to do Eric Tillman personnel things in Edmonton. And what happened in Hamilton, I have no idea, but I know that they're the top team in the East Division this year, and he's been the GM the last couple. So anyways, you played in an era where Eric Tillman was the general manager, and that's not a coincidence either.
Right. No, I think Tillman was, well, he's the reason why I got my start, right? And it was kind of funny. I got traded. I wasn't too happy about it, but I was met by Eric at the airport, and he, on the way back to the dorms or wherever I was staying at the time, he kind of told me, he's like, yeah, we went into negotiations knowing we need a running back. Obviously, it was you, Reynolds, Cornish, and Ken Symington was another. He was a little smaller, but good back as well. So they went in thinking that they had no chance at me and that they'd probably be able to get Symington. And when they talked to the Calgary folks, basically they offered me up first. So Tillman actually talked to me and said, I kind of tried to joke and downplay it a little bit and like, you know what I mean? I guess we'll take Cates. And then they walk out of there like, I can't believe we got Cates. Like he was excited. So he saw something in me that I knew was there. I mean, guys in Calgary, I would always tell them, I think I'm better than Joffrey, but Joffrey hasn't done anything to lose his job. So I'll happily be his backup and play special teams for now. So for me to get that trade, I didn't realize at the time, everybody told me I was going to like the bottom of the barrel team in the league and that I was never going to win and I should try not to ever go there. And then I'm standing at the end of the season, you know what I mean, popping bottles and you know what I mean, holding the Grey Cup trophy. So it's just, you know, it's kind of just one of those tales of just, you know, stick with it. Do what you can, control what you can, and things will work out for you.
There's a little more to the story, though. Back up before the Calgary thing. Mm-hmm. You were the all-time leading rusher at your school, Cal Penn, right?
Yeah.
And when you didn't get an NFL opportunity, you were done with football. You were working at a... That, to me, is the life lesson where you turned your back. Like, I didn't get that NFL opportunity. I'm done. I'm moving on with my life. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you get a call from the CFL. And your life just went whoop. In a U-turn.
Well, yeah, I tried so many different times. I'd been to a couple pro days with Ohio State. I had gone and tried out for some arena teams, and it just didn't work out. And I'm like, I know I can play football. I don't get this. And then I hurt myself really bad trying out for the Oakland Raiders, and I missed my opportunity to go to camp with them. So it was kind of in my mind. I was like, well, must not be meant for me to play football. So I kind of had moved on and everything. I was working with a buddy who managed a gas station and also working at a gym. So I was staying in good shape because I was working at this gym. And I actually was training with an ex NFL receiver, Reggie Germany. So it was kind of things were lining up and I didn't even realize. Then I got a call from my agent, Cully Curran. He lives out in Hamilton. He was doing a little CFL and hockey. And he said, I think I can get you a job up in Canada. I told him I'm not interested. And he's like, whoa, let me shop your name around. And then I was like, well, we can, but I'm not signing anything with you until I think it's a good opportunity. And he told me he found me a 3-day workout in Calgary. So I said, in 3 days, I should be able to show, you know, these coaches what I can do. Because a lot of times you go to a workout, it's 2 hours, you get maybe 10 reps, and it's not really a good evaluation of talent. So in that 3 days, basically, guys were dropping like flies because they were out of shape. I was running circles around everybody because I was in shape. I could catch the ball. And I was one of three guys that get signed. Me and two DBs that we all started that year for Calgary, actually, too.
There's the life lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also remember, this is what I love about Wes and you guys. I always told that story on the radio, wrote about it, and Wes is like, don't tell people that I worked in a gas station. Tell them I worked in a gym, okay? So I changed the story. Getzlaff was very similar. Chris used to say, can you stop telling people how fast I am? Like, I sneak up on guys. Like, I'm you know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I won't talk how fast you are, Getz, but you're very fast. But anyway, now your question. Sorry to hog all the airtime.
No, but to go full circle, and now that you've been here, and it probably didn't mean as much in the time when you're playing, but you know, in the years past, when you look at the list of Riders leading rushers all time, it's George Reed and it's Wes Cates. What does that mean to you now that you've had a chance to put it, you know, a little bit in perspective and to be around this community for this long?
Well, it's really a blessing because, one, you start to realize that guys don't stick with one team for very long at all, if you know what I mean. So just to be able to hang in there long enough and to beat out the competition and to do it in basically the best community to play football in Canada is another blessing on top of that, because anywhere I've gone since when I play for the Stamps, you know, you go places and it almost doesn't even feel like a football game. When you play for the Riders, every game you go to feels like a football game. Every away stadium you go to has a green section that's screaming as loud as they can for you. And just all that rolled over into, you know what I mean, being able to be compared with a guy like George Reed, who will never be eclipsed. I don't even think, like, the game now doesn't allow for that type of rushing. So it's pretty cool to, you know what I mean, be able to be mentioned with him. And it to be on the most, you know what I mean, renowned team in the CFL.
Well, the amazing thing, too, is not just they don't rush the ball as much, players don't stay in one place for very long. Exactly. I mean, we just did an interview with Corey Sheets the other day.
Yeah.
He's Rider legend. He is. 2 years here. Yeah. When you go back, boy, that was fast.
Yeah.
2012 and 2013. Yeah. So you had significant time here.
Well,
so that's not going to be it. Your records aren't going to be eclipsed either.
No, and then just the parallels of staying in the community, being involved in the community. I mean, the parallels are quite eerie, and I think it's a credit to both of you, actually. It's a compliment.
Interesting, too, that Sheets regrets leaving. If anybody didn't see that exclusive web interview that we posted, he left over $20,000 signing bonus to go to Oakland and never played again. He wishes that he hadn't left. But as we await Dave Tippett logging in, the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, via video chat, Wes, the question I have for you out of being a guest coach at training camp is, what have you learned about coaches? What do you appreciate that you didn't know when you were playing for them?
That there's a lot of prep work, that downtime when the players are getting their rest, the coaches kind of have to be, you know what I mean, in the office game planning, putting the scripts together, you know, bouncing ideas off of each other, like, can this guy do this, can he not, and you know, there's just tons of extra work that go into it that, you know, you understand as a player, but until you, like, really sit down and are, like, listening to the coaches, you know what I mean, bouncing ideas and then you're seeing, like, the work they put in with the scripts and all that extra stuff that you kind of, it has to get done for the players to have a productive day. This stuff has to get done. And it's tough. I mean, it's obviously it's within reason, but it's tough and it's a commitment. And you understand that these guys, these coaches really care about what they're doing, because you have to invest that much time and energy into it.
For sure. And I think all coaches are good. And here's my appreciation since I've become a sober and recovery coach. And I'm working with players, and the beautiful thing is I get to work with football players, hockey players, baseball players, lacrosse, they're all sports, and soldiers too. But here's what I learned after years of being around coaches and thinking they're crazy and neurotic. You're only as good as your players.
Oh, man.
So my point is you can tell somebody to go out and do this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
If they don't do it, I might look like an idiot, but they didn't do it. And the coach has been through it. He's not going to be there as the coach unless he knows what he's doing and knows the path to get to where you want to go. So it's no different than what I'm coaching people as to football.
Yes, that's the scariest thing about coaching. It's like you can teach somebody, or you can think you're teaching them a way they can understand it. You can put it, you know what I mean, just drum it into their head as many times, and then they might still go out there and do their own thing. And that reflects on you and could get you fired. So it's tough to really put all that time and energy into someone else's efforts, really. You know what I mean? For you to be evaluated off of them.
Well, and that's why I think all the money should be going into players in any sports team. Not marketing, not anything other than scouting and personnel. Because the players are the product. And by the way, that's another thing. You mentioned 40,000 when you started in the CFL. The wages really haven't come up that much.
Well, technically it was 39. It was funny because Jim Barker, it was, Barker was the GM, and he I complained about getting the minimum, which was 38. So then we go, and when I told him I was wanting more money, he was like, I got like eight guys waiting to take your spot. So it's like 38 or nothing. And then when they sent over the contract, it had 39 on it.
You got the grand.
I was like, oh.
Signing bonus.
Like a little sympathy thousand, a little sympathy G.
Did you like, did you like Jim Barker? I like
Well,
Jim.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't deal with him a whole bunch to say I really liked or
just
disliked
contract
him.
Time.
But he is the true reason why I'm in the CFL, right? Because he signed me out of that camp, right? He was like, yeah, we're going to sign that guy. And then I didn't even make Calgary's team. I was actually on the practice roster, but then a couple guys got hurt, and here we are.
Yeah, well, you were pretty good in the preseason that year, though, as I recall. You played Saskatchewan in the preseason.
I was pretty good every time I stepped on the field.
Confidence, about, right? Not a problem.
Listen, I love it. That's why he's my favorite. He's always been.
Yeah, for sure. And just your take on not this year's Riders. We can go down the quarterback thing, but William Powell.
Yeah.
He's special.
Yeah, he's a good back. Like, he's one of those natural back, because you can't really say he's super fast. He's not a really big guy, but he's got those sweet feet, and he just kind of takes his time and pity pass through the hole and gives you little sudden moves just to throw the defense off their angle, and he just catches the corner and gets, you know what I mean? He makes the most out of every run. That's what I see in him, is like just not really just trying to ram it up in there or just hit the outside and run for the sidelines every time. He just picks and weaves his way through and makes the most out of every run.
So Riders at Ottawa Thursday night, do they have a shot to win the game given their quarterback dilemma right now?
I think they do. I mean, you kind of have to stick to the same recipe and lean on the D a bit. But I think they can lean on the D, stick to the run game. You know what I mean? Try to get some play action in there and air it out a bit. And then I was, you know, watching Ottawa last week. They surprised me coming back against Calgary. So I think if you can put up some points, and obviously Davis is a quarterback you can turn over. So get some turnovers and just hang on to the lead.
Wes, you are a true Hall of Famer. You have an open invite here on the Rod Peterson Show. Appreciate you coming in.
Yo, I appreciate you inviting me. Yeah, it's been fun.
The Wes Cates, the architect of the Wes Cates era. We'll be back on the program after this break. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listening live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city. Yep, that's sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards. Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Tuesday morning sports update time. Toronto police are looking for a fourth person now involved in a shooting at a rally Monday for the NBA champion Raptors that left four people wounded. Police arrested three who are now facing firearm charges, but the shell casings at the scene didn't match two guns that were seized. Those wounded didn't suffer life-threatening injuries. Just on a funnier note, I don't know if you saw Brent Butt's tweet, or sorry, a funny note, because that's not funny at all. Brent Butt's tweet about, he goes, "What do you mean I'm a bandwagon jumper? I'm a lifetime Toronto Raptors fan." Funny up there in Tisdale.
Season two of Corner Gas Animated starts July 1st.
It's a good
There's
show.
A little plug for, oh, it's a great show.
I was never the biggest fan of Corner Gas. I'll tell you why. I lived it.
Yeah, I know.
As did you. Winyard, yes. Mydale, Milestone. It wasn't funny to me.
Short story.
Growing up.
My sister was in Hamilton going to school at a dental hygiene school. And so then you go in and you're a patient and the dentist comes in. And that's what Corner Gas was really rallying. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, Saskatchewan, Corner Gas. Do you know Dog River?" And I had never really watched it.
You had no idea.
It had such a cult. I knew what it was. But at that time, it was like in season one or two. It had such a cult following in Toronto. And then when I watched it, I was like, yeah, this is the Mydale Bar. It's the old goosenest.
Right.
Like,
never watched it live. No time for this. But then I caught on to the DVDs and I watched it after the fact. Loved it.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, but I didn't set my VCR or PVR to tape. But again, I lived it.
Is the mayor on Corner Gas like the mayor of Milestone was?
Ron Thomas?
Is that who it was?
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. I didn't watch enough Corner Gas to even know who the mayor of Dog River was. Who was the mayor?
I knew
who the cops were.
Yeah.
Because they were chasing us down every weekend in both Corner Gas and Milestone.
Right. Lauren Cardinal.
Yeah. And the little blonde girl who I flew beside on a flight home from Winnipeg to Regina. And
really?
She smelled magnificent. Continuing.
Oh, jeez.
Continuing
That's
the sports update. Quarterback Trevor Harris and running back C.J. Gable of the Edmonton Eskimos and running back Andrew Harris of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers were named the CFL's Players of the Week today. Boy, did Trevor Harris look sharp. He threw for 447 yards and three touchdowns while rushing for another. In the club's 32-25 home win over Montreal, Gable added 183 combined yards and a TD. Andrew Harris had 175 all-purpose yards in Winnipeg's 33-23 road win over the BC Lions. The Tampa Bay Lightning have re-signed defenseman Braden Coburn to a $3.4 million two-year deal. The 34-year-old from Shaunavon, Saskatchewan, had 4 goals and 19 assists in 74 games last season. The Blue Jays and Angels meet for the second of a 4-game series tonight at Rogers Center. The Halos belted 4 home runs to win last night's opener, 10-5. Marcus Stroman scheduled to start for Toronto tonight. Speaking of good Sasky boys, here on the Rod Peterson Show, we're going out on video chat now to, I believe, Edmonton. We have the head coach of the Oilers with us. Mooseman's Dave Tippett joins us. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning, Rod. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Now, you look like you're in Minnesota. Are you at your cabin?
No, I'm actually at my in my office in Arizona, actually.
Oh, lucky you.
It looks like a cabin. It's kind of an old barn place, lots of hockey memorabilia and stuff. It's nice place to work.
Well, I'd love to see it. I remember when it was being built, it was the pride of your area. Dave, how the first few weeks as head coach of the Edmonton Oilers been? Busy?
You know, it's really gone well. Working with Ken Holland has been terrific. Been busy, that's a little bit of an understatement, trying to, you know, kind of finish things up in Seattle and get acclimated a little bit in Edmonton, but it's gone very smooth. Looking forward to the draft this week, but still working to try to get some coaches in place. But all in all, it's been a very good few weeks.
I'm going to ask you about those coaches in a minute, but I got to be honest. You know that I'm close with your family, particularly your nephews, Barrett and Chase. And the word I got was that you were done coaching, that you wanted to go stay in the upper management. That was your passion. So what changed with Edmonton?
Well, Edmonton's unique possibility. I just think there's so much upside there. You know, they haven't had a lot of success lately, but, you know, I think you know, you got McDavid and Dreisaitl, and there's a good core of other players around there, Nurse, you know, Nugent Hopkins. That, along with the fact that Kenny Holland was going to go in there and really put his footprint on things, and Kenny reached out to me, and the more I, you know, the more I listened to him, the more it sounded like a good fit, and I really enjoyed what I was doing in Seattle. It's going to be a fantastic franchise, but just the opportunity to jump back in and coach again and work with Ken Holland was just an opportunity I couldn't pass up.
Did that break Mr. Lewicki's heart when you told him you were going to Edmonton? Because I know they were pretty excited to have you kind of be the architect there.
You know what? I really enjoyed my time there, and Todd is a phenomenal person. I mean, that, like I say, that's going to be an unbelievable franchise. But it was, he knew, you know, there was a, we'd had some conversations about possibly getting back into coaching, and he knew that Edmonton would be really on my short list if they called. So, you know, we had a good conversation. They're going to move on. I think, you know, they're still looking to hire their first GM, and they're going through that process right now. But it's going to be an unbelievable franchise. I really thank them for my time there. It was great. Todd used to say, you know, Tip, you're learning the dark side of the game. You've been a player and a coach where those checks just come in the mail. Now you got to figure out where the money comes from. You know, so it was a really enjoyable time.
I don't want to grill you too much at all, and I hope I'm not here this morning, but we saw the announcement with the coaches, but I didn't see Glenn Gulletson's name in that. So is Gully, can we expect him to be back on the bench?
Gully will be back. Yeah, I knew Gully a little bit from my Dallas days. He was just coming into Dallas. Real smart guy. I talked to some of the players on the team, just kind of interacted with them. He kind of oversaw the power play, and they really enjoyed the work he was doing, so we decided to keep Gully on. I decided to go. I think it's important. Like, I think the start of the season is going to be really important for me. I want to try to make sure that I have some people in there that I'm familiar with. So I'm going to still kind of going down that road right now. The video guy and the goaltender coach, Dustin Schwartz, are going to stay. So real good staff. I'm looking forward to getting going with it.
We got an Oilers fan here, Derek Myers. What do you got for the coach of the Oilers?
I'm just curious. Why is there such a fraternity and so much success with Saskatchewan guys coaching in the NHL? You put yourself, Tom McClellan has been on that list. Glenn.
It's a long list.
Mike Babcock. Yeah, like we go on and on and on and on. I mean, we only have a million people in this province, yet you know we're taking up about a third of the coaching slots in the NHL. Why are you guys so successful?
I don't know. You know, I guess I just look at a lot of, you know, the guys coming out of Saskatchewan, they seem like always hardworking guys, willing to, you know, stick up for what they believe. And you know, I look at guys like Todd or Babs, you know, they're real good leaders. You know, they're personable people that are honest and do the job with passion. So maybe that's a trait that Saskatchewan people have.
You know, we talked about that here today.
Todd McClellan's another. So just lastly, Dave, you know what you're getting into in terms of the fan base. It's been a tough decade. A message to Oilers fans, what can they expect this season out of their club in terms of work ethic and that kind of thing?
You know, you can't win in this league unless you're willing to work. That's the bottom line. And the two teams in the finals are some of the best examples of that. I think what in Edmonton we're looking for, we know we have high-end players, so you're going to allow them to play, but the depth is what we're looking for to compete hard. You've got to have a third and fourth line that can compete against other teams' top players as well as the third and fourth liners. So we're going to play with lots of energy. I want to make sure that we do good things with the puck. One of the areas that has to improve is goals against, so that goes from the goaltending right on out. There'll be an extra onus put on defending. But we want our team to play fast and really compete as hard as we can. And I think we'll be a successful club.
Looking forward to watching. We get the games every night here, as you know. So, Dave, I know how busy you guys are. Thanks for the time, and good luck up there.
Thanks very much, guys. You guys have a great day.
You bet. Thank you. So, Dave Tippett, the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, and boy, some pretty good guests on the old Rod Peterson show. Clark. It was Clark. Sure as heck wasn't me, our show booker here, Clark Monroe.
I was about to say, I'm a little humbled to be on this show here today, to be quite honest, when you got the coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Hall of Famer Wes Cates. You start off with CFL Hall of Famer Milt Stegall.
Jay Onwright.
Jay Onwright. Yeah. I mean, an honorary Saskatchewanian. Myself and the sports doctor, I mean, we kind of are, we should be a little humbled to be on this show, to be quite honest. I'm humbled to be sitting in this chair.
Yeah. Hey, do we need to take a break, Clark, and come back for the overtime segment, or are we in overtime right now? He's saying that we can stay with us. So let's stay with the viewers here. So we are in overtime. Sudden death.
You got to get one of those signs.
Final segment. Woo! Yeah, that's a good idea. Darren, we got big news. We got an announcement tomorrow.
That's exciting. Big announcement tomorrow on the show. So,
any hints?
No.
Can I shake
not.
The president? I want to shake the president. I want to know, because
exactly.
You guys are walking around here and you're whispering to each other and then you're giggling and smiling.
The phone is turned down and not up. I don't want anything to accidentally
I don't
come
know
on
what
the
this
screen.
Is. But you guys are acting like this is kind of like Christmas. Like there's a present, but you're not going to let me shake the present.
Get
any clues?
It's not 12 days of Christmas here. It's 24 hours, and they can wait for the announcement tomorrow. How's that? But
it
is exciting.
Good.
And here's the fun thing for me. We got Rob Vanstone one day sitting in that chair, Don Hewitt the next, Craig Smith,
Lynch.
The longtime scout, Lynch. And they're watching what you're watching, and they're just like, you guys are having so much fun. And it's like, yes, we are. So much fun on this show, in this business. It's probably the funnest job I don't know if I've ever had, but been for a long time. It's different than other jobs of a play-by-play job. But I mean, I don't care if I'm ever honestly a play-by-play guy with a team again. This is maybe what I was cut out for. With, the opinions and everything. And as I've said many times, Darren's doing all the work. But I also know this, that people in the industry of the media and also the sports people are just sitting there going, what's next? Because they don't know what's next. We don't know what's next. Just everything that comes up, we keep rolling out is good.
Yeah.
Like who the guest's going to be, what tech advancements they're going to have, what announcement tomorrow we're going to have. It's fun, Derek.
Is this week three?
This is week three. This is show 12. I've got
so
it written.
Week three, two Hall of Famers, an NHL coach of the best player in the league. I mean, I don't know how you parlay this into sports terms, but is this a grand slam in the top of the first inning kind of a thing? That's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah, you can go any of the metaphors too, but
it's literally the first inning. And you're knocking them in.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I'm such a happy person to be a part of it. And as you said, Rod, it is an exciting time, but I'm not going to lie. I'm mostly in here for the fun. That's how fun it is. Like, it is.
But that's the point.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Just going through some of the from Justin on the Facebook feed. Question for Coach. What do you think is the biggest challenge for yourself taking over the Edmonton Oilers? He pretty much answered that, did he not, in terms of what? When he said what Oiler fans can look forward to this year, and I'll be back on the Oilers train somewhat. I was almost going to wear my Oiler jacket in here today.
Ooh.
Everything he said is going to happen is what hasn't happened. If I can't remember.
Just make the playoffs.
Since 2000.
That's,
no, but you,
that's a
it's,
start.
No, but you need to make the playoffs some way. And that's by playing better defensively.
Yes.
And your third and fourth lines contributing and being able to match up against it. None of that stuff happened.
Sure, but there's 31 teams trying to do that.
A goal without a plan is a wish, right? So you have to have that plan labeled out, like how you're going to do it, like you said. You know, I thought it was funny when you asked him for, okay, what's this team going to be like this year? Maybe a prediction or what do we expect? You always want to undercommit and overdeliver, right? You don't want to overcommit and underdeliver and leave people disappointed. I thought he was faking the we're losing.
Yeah, I don't want
you now. Rod, I don't want to make a prediction and create these big expectations. But you know what? He's the right man, I think. I like it. I like the fact that Ken Holland sold him on the job too. He liked that. That was part of it. It wasn't the old club that sold him, the old boys club that people in Edmonton seem to be tired of or just ready to let them be alumni and celebrate them for what they were. Don't let them run the team anymore. And I think that was really telling for me that he was sold by Ken Hall and not by the old boys club.
Yeah. Well, what I heard with Dallas Eakins just within the last 24 hours is that he didn't have buy-in from the alumni. I'm not sure that Dave Tippett cares. But they're going in there and they're smashing things.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
as they should.
I'm a tried, true, and tested Oiler fan, but 1990 was a long time. Maybe the alumni could just go be the alumni. I don't know that, you know, we need their input anymore. Like, wheel them out like Brett Hull, you know? Like, just give them a beer.
But think
go sit over there.
Don't give them a roll.
Thinking Party. About them, who did it the best? Steve Yzerman. Right, he left and went to do it in another market. Right. So he's still the savior. He's still the great Steve Yzerman in Detroit. We know now he's a great general manager. He's had success, so he can come back to Detroit and has a track record of success. Yeah, right, you don't go right back into the same team that you're an alumni from and ruin what you had built as a player for all those years.
You know, and furthermore, this is what I wanted to get into today, but today just went off the rails so fast and so soon. Was where are we going in sports, i.e. the Raptors? I'm reading these Wizards reports today that Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Wizards and the Capitals and all that conglomerate, want to give him 10% of the ownership of the team.
And $10 million.
And $10 million a year. Masai Ujiri, the GM of the Raptors. Larry Tanenbaum, the chairman of MLSC, says he's happy here. He's not going anywhere. He's very well paid. Maybe Masai does leave. And Kawhi Leonard's probably leaving. That's the thing. You saw the interviews he did yesterday with the Stogie. He's not committing to anything past yesterday.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it usually means they're gone. And that's why I'm having such a tough time. Gotten to know Dave Tippett through the Coyotes, but now he's with the Oilers. I was cheering for the Golden Knights. I don't know who to cheer for. Who do you cheer for anymore when the people you become attached to are switching teams all the time? What do you do? I know people are laughing at me all the time. You got a different NHL team every year. Well, two things. One, what did any of them do for me? Nothing. So I'll cheer for who I want. And I don't know who to cheer for. I guess it's going to be the Oilers right now. My closet looks like Jersey City, by the way, full of NHL teams paraphernalia. Maybe it'll be the Oilers. I'm not sure.
I agree with you. You start to cheer for the people. You know, like a guy like Wes Cates, who was here on the couch with us. You start to pull for that guy. So the team that he's on, you know, then becomes a team you cheer for. All through the playoffs, and I said this before they even started, I'm an Oilers fan, but I'm pulling for the St. Louis Blues because Tyler Bozak, Braden Schenn, and Jaden Schwartz. That's why I'm pulling for them, because I've had a chance to be around those guys. They're all from Saskatchewan, so I'm pulling for the Blues.
For the players.
Yeah, the team that they're on, because I want to see their
rotating.
I want to see Grandpa Mitch on the ice after the game. That's why that's excitement. And I think that's how, when you're around this long enough, you still have your core team. You know, I'm still a Dallas Cowboys fan. I will continue to be a Riders guy. But as you start to, you know, be involved in this business, you do start to pull for the individual a bit over top of the team.
Well, I think teams better pay attention to that. I think you're right. And it's not like they don't try and keep their personnel long term, but it's just that's the way
it's
fandom is going. By the way, Tanya McLeod Hill writes in, she's Chris Hill's wife. Chris Hill was my neighbor growing up in Milestone, Saskatchewan. Oh, she says, I'll second your Milestone was corner gas comment. That was way back earlier in the show. I said I didn't find corner gas funny because I grew up in corner gas. And I didn't find it funny at the time. Those cops were relentless in Milestone. They were. And I know one of them's probably watching right now, but he would play road hockey with us when we were like 14, 15. Yeah. And then one time he went, got in his squad car, started his shift, came down and tried to write us up a ticket for obstructing traffic. We said, an hour ago, you were playing with us.
Who was the cop?
He said somebody complained. So we had to shut down our game.
Who's the cop in Yellowgrass? He was a city cop.
Tuvi.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on the Rod Peterson Show, CTV's Claire Hanna.
Nice.
Joins the panel. And CFL Hall of Famer, BC Lions Director of Canadian Scouting, G. Roy Simon.
Superman.
The GOAT. Thanks, guys.
That's been great.
A lot of fun today.
Yes.
And a big announcement tomorrow. We'll see you in 22 hours right here on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live on rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.